Welcome to the PapaCast on the gridiron. Now here's your host, Bob Papa.
And we welcome you to another edition of the PapaCast. I'm Bob Papa as we get you set for the conference championship weekend, AFC and NFC championship games. New England Patriots, Denver Broncos, Arizona Cardinals taking on the Carolina Panthers. And I'm joined by a guy who won a Super Bowl in his career, former Giants punter Jeff Feagles joins us here on the PapaCast. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me, Bobby. How are you?
I'm doing very well here in Hawaii. And, of course, I've got my Giants compagnon, the one and the only John Schmelk. Johnny, how's everything going back in Giants land?
Bobby Pops, everything's good over here. Wish I was with you in Hawaii, my man.
Yeah, me too. Wow.
Yeah, you know, missing that storm is, you know, really breaks my heart. Breaks my heart, fellas. Breaks my heart. Let's get into this thing right away here. And let's start with these conference championship games. And Jeff, you know, the first one on tap is going to be New England and the Denver Broncos. And we get a chance to see Tom Brady and Peyton Manning maybe for the last time in the postseason. Who knows how much longer Peyton's going to be playing. But it kind of is fitting that in this year of trials and tribulations for Peyton Manning, with, you know, it looking like his career could be over and all the injuries and everything else, that he gets one more crack at Brady, who has had the decided edge in their illustrious history.
Well, I think that, you know, just watching those two play football as long as we all have, it is kind of special to know that the AFC Championship game is featuring those two quarterbacks. It does break my heart a little bit to see the tale of two stories here. I think that Tom Brady is showing that he can continue to play this football game at a high level. And then you have one Peyton Manning who last week, in my opinion, and I'm sure that a lot of people were able to see it on TV, the ball is not coming out of his hand the way it used to. I think that there's some issues in his game, but you know, Bob, really, when you think about what we're going to see this weekend, it's going to be special for the fans. You know, up here in the Northeast, we're not too happy about the New England Patriots. We don't really particularly care for them. And in my opinion, I would like to just see the one Peyton Manning just go out and try and win this game and get to the Super Bowl and then ride off into the sunset. And it would be a wonderful career for him.
You know, Bob, and I think it's funny. I think this is almost a real full circle situation, because when the Patriots and back then the Colts, when Peyton Manning quarterbacked them, first got into that rivalry, it was Peyton that had his team on his back, and it was Brady that was just kind of coming in, and he had a lot of help from his defense. Now it's completely switched. It's Peyton Manning that has the top defense in the league, and it's Brady that's kind of doing everything as the main quarterback for the Patriots. So the script really has flipped over the last 15 years or so.
Yeah, but you know, one of the things I think that people are misjudging about New England, because New England went to Denver 2 years ago in the AFC Championship game. It was sunny. It was 60 degrees. And Peyton Manning and the Broncos won that game. A lot of people forget that, because then Denver went on to the Super Bowl and they got blasted at MetLife Stadium by Seattle. But the New England Patriots have one of the better defenses that they've had since sort of their heyday with Tom Brady there. You know, when they had the Ty Laws and the Richard Seymours. And even up until 2007, when they had the guys like Teddy Bruschi and Rodney Harrison, they've been a very offensive team. But let's talk a little bit about this defense, and especially their front, Jeff. This is a front that can get to the quarterback. And if they can get any kind of pressure on Peyton Manning, because you mentioned the ball comes out of his hand a little wobbly, if New England can get pressure on him consistently and not let him really step into throws, because it almost looks like he's got to wind up a little bit now to really get it there, this could turn out to be a very good situation for New England.
Yeah, no question. I think that, you know, when you start to, if you can get into Peyton Manning's head, this would be the time to do it with that defensive line, the Patriots, because they do put pressure. And, you know, you kind of understand how Peyton works. He likes to have a little bit of time to survey the field and check on coverages and things like that. And, listen, this defense will get after you. And not only that, I don't know how he could stand up from the punishment that this defensive line could put it on him too. So, you know, then we know what's behind him. And I think there's a lot of other people that feel that maybe they should be playing that guy instead of Peyton. But bottom line, Bob, this defense is, you're right, the Patriots can put pressure on you. They've got speed in the secondary. They can break on balls and get and turn the ball over. It'll be interesting, very interesting.
You know, guys, let's talk a little bit about New England. I know, Jeff, that you, you're a non-Patriot fan. A lot of Giants fans who might be listening to this, actually, they might pull for the Patriots a little bit, only because of the Bill Belichick component, and he's still so beloved by so many Giants fans. But this is a guy that is able to sort of rebuild right in front of your eyes, and he finds a way to win these games when, you know, you don't really think that. You're sitting there saying to yourself, how could they win these games? They got all these injuries. They've got this. They've got the other thing, but seems to manufacture a way. You know, it's been hard for Tom Brady, too, this year. I mean, he's taken a lot of hits.
Oh,
and this
my
is a this is a Denver team that can really get after the quarterback. How do they try to protect Brady in this football game?
I just think with what they do, what they do well, and that's the fact he gets the ball off so quickly. I think they continue to do that. You know, they're getting healthy on offense, and I think that their game plan is to do exactly that. Let's get the ball out of your hands like you've been doing all season. That offensive line, as we know, and just covering them all year and talking about it, it's not that good. So it benefits Tom Brady to get the ball out of his hands and into those receivers and then have them make plays. And that certainly, you mentioned about the defense, the Denver defense, they can make plays themselves. They have an outstanding linebacking crew that can get to the ball, and they all come with some of those blitz packages. But honestly, Bobby, I think that if he gets the ball out of his hands like he does and into those playmakers, I think that their offense has a good chance against this defense. I did not like the way the defense for Denver played last week. So we'll see what happens going into this game tomorrow.
You know, Bob, I thought it was interesting the way the Chiefs decided to play the Patriots last week. And I realized Justin Houston, you know, obviously didn't play a whole lot. He was limited. But It was almost as though the Chiefs understood the Patriots get rid of the ball so quick. Blitzing is almost pointless. So yeah, you saw them rush three or four guys and not much more than that. And quite frankly, their underneath coverage wasn't good enough to, you know, deal with a lot of those short crosses, the little rub routes and things like that. But like Jeff said, I love this Bronco linebacking core. Whether you're talking about Von Miller, but the two guys that nobody really talks about, Brandon Marshall and Danny Trevathan, two fast linebackers, and I think those two guys are really going to be the key to this game. Can they disrupt those short, quick passes Brady wants to throw in the middle of the field that will not allow the Broncos' pass rush to get to him? I think that's where this game's going to get won or lost.
Yeah, and then how do you deal with Gronk, right? I mean, you got to figure out with him. I think you got to just figure out how to contain him. You're not going to really stop him. He's a difference maker. Denver does have some athletic players, as you guys mentioned, especially at the linebacker position, that at least can rough them up. I mean, Jeff, what's the plan for Wade Phillips, at least to try to slow him down?
I think every defensive coordinator, every analyst has been trying to figure this out all season. But in my opinion, and it is my opinion, I think you just have to almost take somebody that's going to match his physicality at the linebacker, the speed, the quickness, you know, kind of the aggressiveness, and just put this guy on him all game. I mean, not take him out of the way of what he's doing, but you got to have to almost spy this guy.
But does that player exist? Is there a linebacker that can do that?
That's what I prefaced my whole thing. No, I don't. I'm just saying, in my opinion, this is what I would do. Is it going to work? I don't know. But I really believe that you try to, in anything that goes in football, you know, you try to take away what they do best. And we have seen Gronkowski, the route he runs the best is that seam route. Somehow take away maybe that component of his game, and then maybe something else will happen on the other end. But that's kind of – I see that if you could try to do that with, you know, maybe a little extra safety play out of it and down the middle, I don't know. But you're going to have to hit this guy. You know he's a gamer. He is a little bit hurt. And just kind of get him roughed up a little bit. But man, I'll tell you what, it is fun to watch him play because he is kind of an old school guy, Bob. When you look at these players back in the day, they're tough, they're gritty, and you know, you can't help but like a guy like that.
Looking at the film last week, Bob, what the Chiefs decided to do was basically double team him, and that allowed those other wide receivers to get open. And frankly, I wouldn't be surprised if the Broncos did the same thing, because I think they have faith in their corners Tlaib and Harris, two of the best cover guys in
no
the league,
question.
To deal with guys like Edelman and Amendola. So I think you're going to have to either bracket or put a guy over the top on Gronkowski and try to limit him, and you make the other guys beat you. And if they do, I think you just tip your cap.
All right, Jeff, I'll start with you. Give me one or two things as to how you can make a case for each team winning.
Good question. All right, so I'm actually going to for New England, I believe that it's in their defense, and you mentioned it. I think that their defense can get after Peyton Manning and take him out of his rhythm. I think that's one way that that team can win. I think flip side of it, the Denver team, I think offensively they've got to run the football. I can't see them trying to get in a passing duel with Peyton Manning and Tom Brady as much as everybody wants to see that. I don't think that's the case. So I think they got to run the football and manage the third downs. We haven't talked much about the NFC game. We'll get to that a little bit later. But that's pretty much those are two points where I feel that each one of those teams could win.
Yeah, Bob, to me, I think it's pretty simple. If the Patriots get to 27 points, I think the Broncos are going to be really hard-pressed to get there.
I don't think they can get there.
I don't think they can get there either. So I think the Broncos have to play very good defense. And quite frankly, I think they have to win the turnover battle. If the Broncos aren't plus two in this game, I think they're going to have a really hard time beating New England. Maybe a special teams play, maybe a defensive touchdown and a fumble. I know, then you're counting on Tom Brady to make a mistake. That doesn't really get you anywhere real quick. But I think the Broncos will need something in this game to happen in their favor to make it not a clean game if they want to come out of there with a win.
All right, so I think Denver's, it's imperative that the Broncos run the ball for over 125 yards. And they've got to rip off some long runs. New England at times has been susceptible to that. That's position A. And then can the pass rush be disruptive enough for Denver to win? Conversely, I think that New England, with Brady being able to pick them apart, I think if New England can get into a rhythm, protect Brady, I think that those shifty wide receivers and their passing game are going to be too much for Denver to deal with. All right, prediction from Jeff Fiegels for the AFC Championship game.
I got a low-scoring game here because I like both defenses. I'm going to go with the New England Patriots in a 21-14 team. Not many field goals this game.
I fully admit here, Bob, I am picking with my heart, and that's okay. I think the Patriots challenged Peyton Manning to make a couple throws down the field. I think he completes a couple of them. I think he's going to have a couple of big plays out of Demaryius Thomas in this game. And I say the Denver Broncos win 16-14 on a game-winning field goal.
And his heart is – I can see his heart pounding out of his shirt right now.
Yeah, I just think that Tom Brady and the Patriots lost in Denver 2 years ago. They got a better team now. They have a better balanced football team now as far as what they do defensively. And Manning's not as good as he was with their passing game. I think New England wins this game 27-20. And Tom Brady is to not be denied, and he gets to go back to the Super Bowl in his hometown, in his home area, to California, Super Bowl 50. It's only fitting that he would go there with this being Super Bowl 50. All right, let's go to the NFC Championship game. Our buddy Dave Gettleman, the GM in Carolina, Panthers taking on the Arizona Cardinals. And, Jeff, when you take a first brush at this football game, what are some of the things that jump out at you with the Carolina Panthers?
Well, I just, you know, we've watched them all year, you know, the whole undefeated thing. And then coming into the playoffs, I still was a little bit, you know, questioning how good this team was. But after what I saw them do last week in that first half, a little bit reminiscent of what they did to the Giants in the first 35-7 when they were playing the Giants this year. But I believe that this team is for real. And when you mention about balance, Bob, this team is as balanced as any team in National Football League. All phases, they are very, very good at it. I think they continue to do that. I think their leadership is outstanding. Their coach is there. And we mentioned Dave Gettleman. You know, he has put players in – and on that roster that have flourished, and I just like the way this team plays. I really do.
But doesn't it worry you guys that teams are coming back on them the way they're coming back on them? And I mean, you know, they had the Green Bay game during the regular season that proved to be a problem. Seattle came back on them. Obviously, the Giants came back on them. That you know, you start playing with that kind of fire, and at some point, you know, someone's going to come back on you and beat you. They're not closing games out.
that Arizona Cardinal team will come back on you in a minute.
Well,
you know,
and Jeff, and Bob, you took the words right out of my mouth. And I think you worry that this Panther defense has gone through stretches here where they've looked great. But then they've gone through quarters and games at a time where they've looked downright pedestrian. And if you can protect your quarterback from that pass rush, and they have great pass rushers, Kawan Short, Coney Ealy, Jared Allen, they got some great players. But if you can protect, you can throw in that secondary. As good as Luke Kuechly and Thomas Davis are in the middle of the field, I think you can make some big plays down the field. And you know how Bruce Arians runs his offense. He will put that ball down the field on Larry Fitzgerald, on Floyd, on Brown. I think the Cardinals will have some opportunities for some big plays in this game, and I think they take advantage of it.
I think from a football standpoint, I know that the Denver Broncos and the New England Patriot game is very sexy because of the quarterbacks. In my opinion, this game is going to be the game to watch. I think this is a classic, classic football game. I mean, both these coaches. I mean, you look at Bruce Arians and the way that he coaches his football team. I mean, obviously, I'm out of the NFL right now, but I would have loved to play for a coach like this guy. I mean, there is nothing about him that you don't like, and I feel like the Arizona Cardinals. I played for that organization for 4 years. It's night and day from when I was there and what they're doing now, and it's pretty impressive.
Let's face it, how effective could Jared Allen be with this foot injury?
No.
I mean, I know
that's
he looked
true.
Good in practice yesterday, but look, even if he's playing, you know he's going to be limited. That secondary against those Cardinal receivers. Now, natural grass surface in Carolina, we got weather sweeping through the east. They might get, you know, a whole bunch of rain and stuff like that, which suddenly makes it a sloppy track. Does that favor one team or the other?
Yeah, you know, I believe the forecast, Bob, for Charlotte last I saw was an inch of ice on the ground. So I don't know how you get ice off a field. So you're right, the field could
chiseled.
Be a mess.
An inch of ice is trouble. That's like a hockey rink, you know? I think that both these teams have formidable running games. I think it's going to come down to the offensive line, which team can actually move that defensive line of the other team off the ball. And I would give it to Arizona. I think that they have a you know what? I take that back. I think that Cam Newton thrown in a game where he got to run the football can get it done better than Andy Dalton. We know that. But not Andy Dalton. I mean Palmer.
Carson Palmer.
But, you know, I would give the running game – the advantage to the Carolina Panthers.
Does Carson Palmer worry you? I mean, they won the game. He made plays last week, but he also made some awful red zone mistakes that, you know, as the stakes get higher and you make those kind of mistakes, it's going to cost you your season.
You know, Bob, you're absolutely right. And I think Carson Palmer almost flashed back a little bit in that last game to how he was playing 3 or 4 years ago when he was with Oakland, where you would force some of those balls in there and you'd be like, boy, what the heck was that guy thinking? And last year and this year, he kind of gotten away from that a little bit. So, yeah, I think there has to be a worry because the Panthers, they're one of the best teams this year in terms of turnover differential, and they will take the ball away. And especially when Palmer gets pressured, even if Allen can't go, Coney Ealy's a very talented young defensive lineman. He'll play defensive end instead of Allen. Then you got Kawan Short coming up the middle. I think you do worry about Carson Palmer throwing the ball away. And I think if you want to look for a fulcrum point in this game for which could turn it one way or the other, does Carson Palmer protect the ball? Because I think that's one big way that the Panthers win this game.
All right, so let's go predictions here. Carolina Panthers and the Arizona Cardinals in what, you know, could just be a fantastic matchup. And as Jeff, you pointed out, maybe the game that is the real must-see game as far as high drama.
You know, and I think this is a hard – I don't even know what the line on this game is and that kind of stuff, but this is a hard game for me to pick. And, you know, you look at the Panthers and this the way their season has gone, it just feels like it's their year. Are they the better football team in my opinion? I'm going to go with Arizona on this one, and I'm going to go with Arizona. It would be the upset, obviously, but I just feel that when you get into a game and it's going to be a close one, that which team has the better playmakers, Arizona has more playmakers on their team than the Carolina Panthers do.
Bob, can't you just see Ted Ginn being wide open for an 80-yard touchdown pass and him dropping it?
Of course,
can see that coming a mile away in this game, and I think that goes to Jeff's points about which team has the better playmaker. I think the Cardinals will make two or three really big plays in this game, and quite frankly, I don't think the Panthers are going to be able to do this against a very, very underrated Cardinal defense. We haven't mentioned the Cardinal defense yet. You got Patrick Peterson out there. You got Calais Campbell up front. They're really good. I don't think the Panthers are going to be able to score a lot of points. I like the Cardinals. I've been riding them for a while. And like you mentioned earlier, Bob, I think the Panthers have had too many little red flags towards the end of this season. Even though they're winning games, I've seen some things I really don't like. I think Arizona wins this game 27-23.
I'm going to let me give you my number there, Bobby. I'm going to go 35-30 Arizona. I think it's going to be a shootout. That's what the fans like, so I'm a fan.
You know, I have a hard time not thinking that Carson Palmer is not going to float one of those bad throws like he did last
week
late.
I know.
Then again, you know, and people have been picking against Cam Newton in Carolina all year, and they keep finding a way to win. But I said from the middle part of the season that I thought the Super Bowl would be Arizona and New England. So I'm gonna stick with that, and I'm gonna go with the Cardinals winning this one, 31-26, in what should be a very, very thrilling game, and it'll set up an Arizona New England Super Bowl. Just quickly for you guys, because I know we got to wrap up here, but Giants coaching changes. Ben McAdoo, new head coach. A lot of changes in his coaching staff. So, guys, you're in the building all the time. It's got a different feel to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It really does. And I think that it started with me going to the introductory press conference with Coach McAdoo. It's been a long time. And there was a different setting in that room. And, one thing that I did like about Ben is he's going to keep the clocks the same around the building, you know, and I think that's kind of cool. But it is different. I think it's going to continue to be different for a lot of the people that are in this building a lot, like ourselves. And I think just not seeing the normal people walk around here, you're going to have to get to know the new coaches and the new style. I think we're all kind of waiting to see what type of leadership that Coach McAdoo, Ben McAdoo, is going to bring to this football team. We know he's a little fiery, Bob, you know, so maybe that's going to be a good thing with this roster going forward.
Yeah, you know, Bob, I think a lot of things are going to change, but I think a lot of things are going to stay the same, too. I mean, Jeff mentioned this thing about the clock. You know, some of the staff, it looks like, could very well remain in place, but one big thing happened this week, you know, one of Coach Coughlin's motivational tactics, he has all the signs up around the building with the motivational sayings. We walked in a couple days ago. They're all gone.
Wow.
Now, maybe some will go back up. Maybe Ben McAdoo will replace them with some sayings of his own. But you're seeing some things change here slowly but surely. You're seeing, you know, eventually some new faces in here with the coaching staff. So John Mara called it a new era of Giants football when he introduced Ben McAdoo. That's going to be the case. At the same time, Ben McAdoo said it's evolution, not revolution. So I think this is going to be a healthy balance of change and continuity. Build on what's good, change what was bad, and try to get back to the playoffs.
I wonder if Coach Coughlin has a big enough basement for all those sayings that were on the wall.
Yeah, it's like those big checks that people get, right?
Yeah.
All those big signs. Yeah, it's going to be weird. It's going to be weird not seeing the Pat Flahertys and guys like that around, but Ben McAdoo's got to bring in his people and make it his staff, and he's got to take it in his direction, even though he spent the last 2 years under Coach Tom Coughlin. Jeff Fiegels and Johnny Schmelk. Guys, I appreciate it. Enjoy the weekend. Don't shovel too much, and thank you for joining me on this edition of The PapaCast.